Hi, I'm Aldias in Medium, and thank you so much for tuning in today. I want to try to bring religion and spirituality closer together, and this is what this pod is all about. I will talk about my own thoughts and feelings, as I am both LDS and have spiritual gifts, something that I've had my whole life, but I always thought that it was hard to combine these gifts with my religion. This has torn me into two directions, and I have talked to many people who feel the same way. I can't choose not to have my spiritual gifts, but I can choose how I use them. And I always want to use them for good and to help others. I believe my heavenly parents gave them to me for a reason. So, this is me. Join my quest for knowledge. Men vs. Women, Chapter 10, Part 1. We're almost halfway through the book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage by Mark Ungar now. And this chapter is called Law Number 7, The Law of Love. We all know what this chapter is going to be about, but I feel slightly humble and rebuked just by the title. What is love exactly? It's something I've been thinking a lot about in the past 5 years. Love. This elusive feeling that comes and goes, and is stronger and weaker. Sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. And it feels slightly different depending on who you feel it towards. I'm curious as to how the author will portray a love, so let's dive in. The chapter starts off with the words, I love you. Three so simple words, just eight little letters, that we long to hear or dread to hear, and that holds so much power. He goes on writing about how we love things like our mom and dad, ice cream, a dog, a bike, a song, a movie. We can love a lot of things, but we don't love them in the same way. It might be hard to really know the difference to the different kinds of love there is out there. But Mark has divided love up into different categories, the first one being affectionate love. Affectionate love is the warm feeling of tenderness for another person. It is a momentary sense of endearment that you have in response to the innocence or sweetness of another. End of quote. What to remember with this kind of love is that it's fleeting and momentarily. Which is why it comes and goes. I've heard that you should remember all the good stuff that has been in a marriage. That way you can reconnect to the affectionate love. For me, this was me talking about and telling the story about how me and my then husband met. And every time I got to tell the story for my children or friends, I re-experienced this feeling. So I very much still felt this affectionate love for my husband, because I spent so much time reliving that feeling. Then we go to friendship love. I know this one's going to be hard to hear. Friendship love emerges in us when we share the same likes and dislikes with another person. End of quote. I don't know if I agree to that statement. If you share the same likes and dislikes. Well, I thought we did share the same likes and dislikes. Either we didn't or we lived a lie towards each other. Since I do not think we ever had a friendship love. Since I've never really felt we were friends to start with. There was no real interest in me at all. I'm not trying to be a victim, but looking at my past relationship clinically and from the outside, I don't think anyone would think we were friends. So when he continues by writing of the importance of friendship love in a relationship, I agree, but I don't think I've ever experienced it. It's been something I've been longing to experience. But trying to find someone new to date in my age and in Sweden, it's really hard. So when he writes that you should work hard on building a friendship love with your spouse, it makes total sense. But I've never experienced it. But it does give some ideas of what to think of. Like paying attention to one another, giving compliments, showing affection, communicating feelings and listening to the response, giving small and thoughtful gifts, noticing and validating them. Touch, hugs, holding hands, and publicly affirming them. Reading this list is like everything I've ever wanted, but was starved of. I don't think this list is that hard to do. And yet, it was scarce. Men, do not underestimate giving your spouse small, random, unexpected gifts. We crave them. And we love them. Because for us, it's you thinking of us. And the thought is the important thing. The intention behind it is what we exist for. And for me especially, the smaller the better. but the intention was all. Next comes sexual love. I wonder how open I can be in this section. It's hard to talk about sex. For me, growing up in an LDS home, we never spoke about it. My mom and dad never said anything, and you barely heard a word of it in church. How on earth are we supposed to navigate this without knowledge? It's not really like learning how to ride a bike. It can involve a lot of feelings, and I think our church culture has a lot of rules and regulations about sex or lovemaking. And there's a lot of shame involved and judgment. At least, that's how I experienced it growing up in the 70s and 90s in Sweden. Mark only says he will get into this later in the book, so I guess I'm off the hook for this time. But I plan to try to open up my point of view on how I have experienced this subject. The only thing it takes up is that a couple can use sexual love as a type of cleansing for the relationship. I guess coming together in a healthy union can be somewhat cleansing. He also issues a warning that if you don't work on this aspect, to try to maintain a sexual interest in each other, this love will die. It hurts when it does, especially if it just dies for one person while the other still loves this way. I think normally it's women who tend to shy away, since we love in a slightly different way and need love slightly different. I guess I'm just different. Next up is committed love. God wants us to be committed in our love and in our relationship. End of quote. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with others. I guess he meant be at peace with each other. And we hardly ever disagreed, because I learned pretty fast that there was no use. I became placant and focused on the kids. And I guess I shut down a little bit. I have to be honest, I am far from perfect, so I made a lot of mistakes. And being placant was one of my biggest ones. It didn't lead to arguments, but not to friendship either. Here he likens this with a bank that you keep investing in. You put money in and more in and more in. But when you go to withdraw the money, they won't let you. And he talks about how people can be like that. They just accept and take. Take and take, but can't give. I always thought I was the one to give and give and give. And in a way I was. But on the other hand, he cleaned and did laundry and made sure our home was okay, without getting that much appreciation from me. So I think both of us wanted this kind of love, but in very different styles. I can understand if he feels like he gave and I didn't return. But what I craved was physical touch and hugs, and I never got that. So we were both starving for what we needed the most. No one is innocent and no one quite guilty. Just needed different things and showed in different ways that the partner couldn't appreciate. Many people are just like this. They have deposits only, no return stamped on their relationship forehead. They gladly accept emotional deposit after emotional deposit. But when you need them to give some care back, they don't seem to be willing to give any in return, which leads to wanting to get rid of that spouse and look for someone else to marry. So human love has limitations. Why? Because human love is based on conditional love. We want something for what we give. And human love changes. You love a baby, so cute, unconditionally. But that baby grows up into a child. And your love starts to change. And then a youth, and into an adult. And with that growth, the love changes and evolves and starts to get conditional. He writes, "But problem starts when the person being loved changes. A child's cuteness is aborted by adolescence. A husband's sexiness gives way to beer belly in old age. A wife starts to enjoy and spend lots of time with an interest her husband finds boring." End of quote. So what can we do about this? I will leave that for next time. So until next time, be the light, share the light, spread the light, and shine. This is my journey. Thank you so much for keeping me company today. Please download, like, share, and subscribe, and help spread the light and spread the word to expand our community. Let's bring more love, peace, and unity to this world. Take care of yourself and your loved ones. Always be grateful, kind, and loving. Be brave and remember to step out of your comfort zone and smile.
If you support us on Patreon, you will get access to our meditations and extra materials so you can download them as MP3. Also, we now have a Facebook group, which you can access from our Facebook community. Please answer the questions as you apply to participate. It will be a safe haven where we can keep discussing religion and spirituality, our spiritual gifts and self-development. Remember, one person can make a difference, but together we can change the world.